Okay, welcome everybody to the bonus webinar for those of you who are smart enough to enroll in the Subtle Sales Mastery Training. I am your host, Paul Ross, and I am very happy to be doing this bonus webinar. Tonight we're going to be talking about some serious, well not serious, but some thorough and pretty mind-blowing mind programming and mind reprogramming tips, tactics, and strategies that I only recently came up with. Half of it is extremely recent, like in the past 10 days. And other is stuff I've been teaching for a while, but it needs to be restated and reframed in a different way. So what moved me to do this one is October 30th, my dear kitty, who Adam had a chance to meet, my beloved Taz, who was my fur baby for 18 years, passed on. I actually put her down. She died in my lap, pretty much. And then 5 days later, my trainer, who is just someone who was to me what I have been to you, or what hopefully I will be to you, someone who completely changed my beliefs about what I could do, helped me to transform my body, someone who loved me and brought me discipline unlike anything I've ever had before. Someone who I was just totally in love with as a human being, not in a sexual way, told me she was leaving, which was a gut blow to me. And then subsequent to that, I called an end to a friendship with someone who I'd been friends with for 25 years, someone who'd been like a brother to me. And on top of that, this course that you guys have enrolled in, I think I made it clear that I've been working on it on and off since 2009. It was such a joy to do. I sort of went into a postpartum depression. And this got so bad. Interestingly enough, about 3 weeks ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, a voice said to me, "You're going into a depression." And there's a difference between grieving and being depressed. And the difference is grief feels awful and you feel terribly sad. But depression adds in those elements of, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm unworthy, what's wrong with me, why, and it brings in shaming yourself and regret, and believe it or not, those tendencies are still in me after doing all this work on myself and all this coaching. I've always presented myself as nothing other than a human being who still has these things running from time to time, particularly in times of stress and times of loss. I've said it before, it's not that you're a rotten person or a bad person or you have the lack of some mysterious substance called self-esteem. It's simply that these patterns have a lot of cognitive momentum and emotional inertia. So they're going to come up when you're triggered by some pretty intense events. So in any case, I realized I needed to break out of it and not. It hasn't even been a week when I went to sleep and I said to myself, I surrender my right to self-pity. It just popped into my head. And then I began to list what I was doing to myself. I surrender my right to shame myself and others. I surrender my right to need to know the answers. I surrender my right to hold myself in contempt and to hold others in contempt. And I just began to list all these things that I had been doing internally. And I said, I surrender my right to. And something about that language, I could have said, I surrender self-pity. But when I said, I surrender my right to self-pity, something about, you know, you have the right to remain silent. Do you want to give up your right to remain silent? It acknowledges to the unconscious mind that essentially, yeah, you can do this behavior. You have the right to do it, but you're going to surrender that right. And there's something in that word surrender that has, I think, tremendous power. And then I thought, okay, something I didn't even think it consciously. I just suddenly began to say, I surrender my right to despair and I joyously embrace all the good things in my life and the wonderful things to come. And I joyously and powerfully claim my personal power. So I began to combine embrace with the word surrender. So what is it that we need to surrender? Surrendering self-pity, surrendering shaming oneself, surrendering contempt for oneself and for others. surrendering envy, surrendering regret, all these things that tangle us down and poison our spirit. So you can see this goes beyond sales. This goes to personal transformation. I believe that it's from a foundation of personal transformation that we create leadership. And if you view selling as a form of leadership, that you are going to lead your customers, clients, prospects into a better state of mind and a better set of decisions, then it's crucial that you have your own stuff, if not together, at least flowing in that direction. I don't think we'll ever have our stuff totally together, because I think that's an ill-defined destination in any case. And also, we live in a chaotic world. We're chaotic systems, and giving chaos its due means we're never going to totally have it together. And nor would we want to. That would remove the fertile soil from which things can grow, from which new things can grow that are unexpected. There's getting what we want, and then there are things that are so unexpected, so far outside of our frame of reference that they go beyond what we could wonder about having, because from our current perspective, they're completely undefinable. They're unknowable. There's an old joke about two caterpillars crawling along in the leaves, and one looks up, a butterfly flies overhead, and one looks up and says to the other, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." So I think that's an indication of what a good metaphor for transformation. And to sell, I think you need to be able to lead. Now, we can give the illusion of leadership by creating, and nothing wrong with it, by using vague language, which is what we'll teach tomorrow. But I also think it's essential that we have some degree of artistry with our own emotions and our own, and I kind of gag on the word, so quote, spirit, close quotes. I don't believe there's a thing in there per se, but I think you know where I'm going with this and what I'm addressing. So one of the exercises I would encourage you to do is get out a piece of paper, maybe when you're watching the replay of this or maybe right now, and write out the words, "I surrender my right to." And then put down, what are you going to surrender your right to? I surrender my right to what? To blame. I surrender my right to anger. It doesn't mean you can't be angry. It just means you're surrendering your right to. I think part of forgiveness is to surrender our right to seek retribution on the other person. We're surrendering our right to rage at them. We're surrendering our right to hold on to our rage. Doesn't mean we can't do it or that we don't have a right to do it. It simply means we're choosing to waive that right. Just like when the cops pull you over and they ask, "Can I search your car?" You're absolutely within your constitutional rights to say, "I don't consent to searches." And you could equally say, I'm going to waive my right to refuse searches and allow you to search. So make a list and say, "I am surrendering my right to." And then we want to say, "And I embrace my." What are you going to embrace? You're going to hear some noise in the background. Don't worry about that. Just pay attention to me. So what are you going to embrace? I surrender my right to, and I embrace my what? And generally speaking, you'd be embracing the very opposite of what it is you're surrendering. So if you're surrendering, for example, despair, I surrender my right to despair, and I embrace my belief in myself, and I joyously claim my dedication to my dreams and goals. Notice how we're throwing in adverbs, joyously, powerfully. When you're making these kind of statements to yourself, adding in adverbs tremendously increases the power and impact. What's the difference between saying, "I embrace my power," and "I joyously embrace my power"? What's the difference between saying, "I embrace my forgiveness of others," and "I profoundly embrace my forgiveness of others"? I think you can feel that, the resonance of that difference, really just in the gut. This is something that arises from the gut and up through the heart and into the brain. I believe that we can create change from the top down, from the bottom up, and then from the inside outward. And this is really what this is about. excuse me. And then also, too, what I would encourage you to do is, and I do this personal programming when I'm doing physical activity. It seems to work best for me when we do it in that context. And there's just a few of them I want to give you. And one of them is about our attitude towards our challenges in our life. I really got this when I was sort of joyfully falling apart. Sometimes falling apart can be a good thing. We often don't see the lesson we need to learn at the time we need to learn it. It's only after we move through that period that we see it. But I came up with this one. I am blessed to have my challenges in my life. So I'll say it again. I am blessed to have my challenges in my life. I am blessed to joyously and courageously face my challenges in my life. You hear the adverbs, joyously, courageously. I am blessed to joyously and courageously conquer my challenges in my life. So I'll say it again. I am blessed to have my challenges in my life. I am blessed to joyously and courageously face my challenges in my life. I am blessed to joyously and courageously conquer my challenges in my life. And the other one I want to give you is confusion and uncertainty, because I have to tell you, as I move forward into this new career, and Adam will testify to this, as we work out new systems and new ways of reaching out to people and following through and following up and offering new programs and new trainings, it is something of a confusing process and an uncertain process. So my way of embracing that is to welcome it, is to say confusion and uncertainty are my gateways. I like that word gateway. Gateway, there's something magical and powerful and innately strong in that word gateway. Confusion and uncertainty are my gateway, or my gateways. Confusion and uncertainty are my gateways to my clarity, my focus, my purpose, my vision, my joyous journey to the amazing achievement of my fantastic personal and financial goals. That's a mouthful. So I'll go through it again. Confusion and uncertainty are my gateway to my clarity, my focus, my purpose, my vision, my joyous journey to the fantastic achievement of my amazing personal and financial goals. Now, notice we're talking about the journey, the joyous journey. Why did I put that in? Because we want to make sure that we're having fun, that we're balancing the thoroughness and the dedication of doing the work that we have to do. For whatever reason, we have to do the work along with having fun on the journey. I think you bring along, on the journey to success, you're always bringing along whoever you are in that moment. And if you're bringing along someone who's just rushed and angry and grasping for success, even if you get there, you'll be a miserable person when you get there. You'll have all this, and believe me, money is great. And if you turn into a miserable person on the journey to get there, if you forget that the whole point is to produce something of value and beauty that improves the people around you as well as your own life, then you've missed the plot. You've missed the point. You've been out on the snack bar when the movie's been playing. You've gone out to take a pee at the climax of the movie. I said the word climax, didn't I? So that's essentially, it's a very short little thing that I presented here, but it's very profound. There's no fat in this. There's one more I want to give you that I've been using. It's my opportunities are everywhere. I create them and they surround me. My opportunities are everywhere. I create them and they surround me. My opportunities are everywhere. I create them and they surround me. Now I want to look at that second sentence and parse it. I create them and they surround me. That has to do with both me taking action, but me also being open to what's coming to me. So I don't take the viewpoint that it's only about what I do. I also allow for the possibility that things will be presented to me in my journey. Things will be put in my pathway. Good things will be put in my pathway. So will challenging things be put in our pathway. As I've said before, sometimes we write the story of our lives, and other times life writes our stories for us. Those people who say we create everything in our lives just have not paid attention to train wrecks, plane crashes, famine, fatigue, war. It looks like we're headed for another one as I sit here and broadcast this on January 7th, 2020. Let's hope not. So that's essentially the broadcast for tonight, and I'm going to open it up to questions one at a time. So please, if you have questions or just comments about what you think about what I presented, just type 7 in the chat window, and I will call on you. I really would like to get your feedback, even if you don't have questions, just some of your responses to what I've taught you. And Adam, that includes you. So type 7 in the chat window. I've got to believe that some of you have some comments, at least. All right. So what I want to announce is, because of the overwhelming positive response to the course, I am offering the opportunity to put in an application to have a one-on-one discovery call with me. It is free to apply. There's no charge. And as you can see from the quality of my teaching, my time is booking up. I'm getting hired to do trainings and gigs, but I did want to extend the opportunity to those of you who are either watching the recording or on the live broadcast to apply for a discovery call with me. Adam, can you type that link in the chat window, please? And the chat window won't show up, I believe, in the recording. So that link is Speaker Paul Ross. So www.speakerpaulross.com/discovery. So if you'd like to apply, whether you're listening to the recording or you're on the broadcast live, I do have some opportunities to apply for discovery calls with me where we can go through your individual situation, your business, your company, and see how we might be of service to you, and maybe even do some coaching right then and there to see how we can give you some tweaks right on the call. Calls are half an hour and there's no obligation, and they are complimentary, but you do have to apply right now. Okay. So with that in mind, let's go. We'll call on Etter, I believe. I am unmuting you. I've unmuted your audio, but apparently you are still muted. I don't know why that is. Do you have a microphone?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So what is your comment, question, or both?
How do you stay motivated when you're a one-man salesperson?
How do you stay motivated when you're a one-man salesperson? Well, I don't know that it's a question of whether you're one man. You're always a one-man salesperson, because at the end of the day, it depends on you to produce the result. Even if you're part of a team of 50 people, you have to be the one to go out there and produce the result for yourself. I think it's important. Everyone says write down your goals, and I absolutely, positively agree with that. Some of the other things, like one of my colleagues, who's also sort of a mentor to me, has said celebrate your small wins. Whatever the small win is, you made an extra call that day, or you reached out to one more client than you had set your goal for. Any kind of small win, you celebrate. It's also a matter of getting out of your own way. What are the things that stand in your way? I talk about this in my teaching training on mindset, which is, you know, as you took the Subtle Sales Mastery training, you know, we had that section on mindset. You watched those modules, did you not?
I did.
So you saw how I talked about getting out of your own way and looking at those patterns that get in your way and keep you stuck. Have you done any of those exercises? Have you applied them to your own situation?
Absolutely. I don't use can't, never, any negative sentences.
Right, right. Good. Has that helped increase your motivation?
It has.
Okay, so you wanna know how can you even more significantly increase it, correct?
Correct.
Well, one thing to do is to do whatever you can to put the fun into the process. We tend to do more of something that we enjoy, and we tend to be better at what we do more of, given the right guts, given the right mentorship and the right training. So I'll say it again. We tend to do more of what we enjoy, and we tend to get better at what we do more of, provided we're doing the right thing and we're doing it correctly. So how can you put the fun into what you do? What is it that you sell?
Retirement accounts.
No, you didn't go through the training thoroughly enough. I'll try again. What did my subtle sales mastery training teach you about what it is you're always selling? What are you always selling?
I'm not selling a product. I'm selling a edition, my frame.
Do, do, do. Do, come on, I repeated this point in many of the modules in the course.
I'm selling feelings.
And?
Feelings and...
Starts with a D. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. I'll say it again for those of you who are on live and those listening to the recording. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. All right, so with that in mind, you're selling decisions and good feelings about decision and states of mind. Where is it that you have fun in the process? Is there any way that we can make the process of doing this more fun?
I have fun when I go out on the field prospecting clients. Mm-hmm. And also at the end, once they do sign the contract, that's the best part.
So somewhere in the middle of the process, it's not as enjoyable as it could be.
Correct.
And can you unpack what that part of the process is?
It's just sitting down in front of the boardroom, board members, and presenting to them my product, my company, myself.
Okay. Remember, you're not presenting the company and product first. First, you're getting them in the state of mind. Remember I talked about how to double or triple the power of your sales presentation? And I talked about saying something like, before we share this opportunity together, remember I talked about this? I would just like to ask you to please promise me one thing. Will you promise me you'll raise the questions that naturally occur when a great decision is going to be made? Remember I talked about that?
I do remember, yes. I'm using that from now on.
Oh, well, that's good. That's something to dive into, because then you're creating the state. We're using what I call implied relationship words. As we explore this together, as we share this exploration together, we together imply that there's a relationship of trust right off the bat. So that will help you establish in your mind that they're already looking at you through a filter of relationship, of a trusted leader, that you're creating the illusion that you are someone who's leading them. And in fact, you are leading them by controlling your state, by making sure that you're outward focused, grounded in your body, that you have an intent, that you are intentional without intense anal, without being intense anal. You don't want tension in your body and your sphincter puckered up. So can you be intentional without being intention anal? I just came up with that, Adam. I came up with that in my notes today. So I think these are some of the points for you to bear in mind. Does that assist you in any way?
It does. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you were on the call. I see Harvey. I see Adam. Harvey, Adam has something he would like to inquire about. Yes. Adam, how are you, sir?
Very good, very good. Well, it's not so much an inquiry, it's an observation. And what I've discovered, not only having helped you put this course together, but having taken the course myself, is it's given me a new sense of power, because I'm in the process of creating something brand new for my business as well that's going to require a lot of intense work over the next few weeks. And just considering what this course, this Secrets of Subtle Sales Mastery, does for us, I actually go back to it for inspiration in some ways. And I allow the words that you say to help me create visions of what that success is going to look like.
Wow. That's an incredible testimonial. Can you write that up with a,
I can do that.
With a picture of yourself and tell us, you know, put in your website and what your position is, because I'd really appreciate that. Thank you. That's an incredible compliment. Once again, I want to say to those of you who are listening to the recording that I have a limited number of slots available to apply for a discovery call with me, so we can dive into your unique situation and see how we can further apply these principles, tools, and tactics to your own unique quest for success in your business, whatever that might be. To apply for that, go to speakerpaulross.com/discovery. And if you can't spell the word discovery, you're probably not someone who I can help. Okay, thank you for that, Adam. That's super kind of you. I really appreciate it. All right, I want to thank you all for joining. For all of you who are listening to the recording who have done me the honor of going through the Subtle Sales Mastery training, I want to tell you it's been my joy to put that together. I've been working on the ideas on and off since 2009, so that's about 11 years. We'll see you tomorrow night and the night after that. So good night, and thank you all for coming.